Good morning. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Blessed be the name of God, from this time on and forevermore. It is good to give thanks to God, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Let us join our voices in praise and confession. Almighty and everlasting God, our Sovereign who instructs our hearts by night and has safely brought us to the beginning of a new day, be with us today through your mighty power and grant that this day we fall into no sin nor run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being guided by your Spirit, may be good in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, lift up your heads and know that one fact remains that does not change. In our sleeping, or in our waking, in our birth, or in our death, God has loved you, loves you now, and will love you always. This is the good news that brings us new life in Christ. Let us sing a song that Mary and the other youth from our church and 2,500 youth sang together at the National Youth Event just this past weekend. A wonderful old spiritual. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus, number 85. Let's sing. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing the second verse. Singing and praying with my mind stayed on Jesus. Singing and praying with my mind stayed on Jesus. Singing and praying with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And in the name of Jesus, let us greet one another with the joy and the grace that we have to share. I invite anyone who's visiting with us to remain standing for a moment so we can recognize you and greet you, and we're glad to have you with us this morning. Now, I know there are visitors here today. In fact, I know if you're seeing double today and think you're seeing double, it's because Cindy Bowser's twin, Mindy, is with us today. Mindy, you're a visitor here today. Please stand. And Mindy is a pastor here in Ohio Conference at what congregation? St. Paul's in Van Wert, which is over there somewhere. It's good to have you with us today, Mindy, and welcome you, and to welcome each person here today and greet you with the joy and peace that is ours here in Christ. Glad to invite you to join with us in the fellowship hall following the service. There will be a celebration of August birthdays. Then I encourage you to attend one of our classes. And I would remind the youth that they're going to be having breakfast over at Samantha's this morning following the service. And then I invite you to be with us again next week. Next week I'll be preaching on In Your Dreams. We'll be talking about Joseph the dreamer and Peter walking on water. We'll be celebrating the baptism of Benjamin Hirsch at 10:30 service. I would draw your attention to the insert and several things that are coming up. I encourage you to sign up today for the new senior generation trip to Columbus. This is good for all ages, grade school children and older, parents, grandparents. You can sign up outside the office today. We need more people to sign up or we're going to need to cancel the trip. I'd also encourage you to sign up for our Vacation Bible School. It's only a week away, and there's a sign-up sheet on the insert. I also encourage you to buy a ticket for our ice cream social, which culminates and celebrates our Vacation Bible School. You can do that today, as well as looking ahead in 3 weeks, we're going to be celebrating our church picnic. Reverend Steve Daniels will be here to preach, and it'll be great to welcome him back as we celebrate out in the tent the life we share together in promotion Sundays and church school activities. So you can buy your ticket for our church picnic as well today. It's good to see each person here today. We gather here in the knowledge that this is where we encounter God, like Jacob encountered God in our scripture text today. Here we are reminded that here, O my Lord, we see you face to face. I encourage you now to join with me in singing number 336. Let's sing the first and the last verse. This was a request by Ruby Schmucker. Thank you.
Unfortunately, Marisa Gump is not able to be with us today due to an illness. So I would invite my young friends to join me down front right now. And let's talk about the Olympics for a moment. Let's just stay right here. Good to see everybody. How are you today?
Good.
Great, great. Hi, how are you today?
Good.
Great. Have you been watching the Olympics?
No.
Yeah. Yes, watching the Olympics.
I just see the medal.
What's your favorite event in the Olympics? Yes.
Gymnastics.
Yes, it's wonderful to see the endeavors by everybody in gymnastics. That's what's your favorite event?
Diving.
Diving. How neat. Do you want to be a diver? Do you want to be a gymnast? What's your favorite event?
Baseball.
All right. What's your favorite event? Horses. Aren't they lovely? And what's your favorite event?
Diving.
The Olympics are wonderful in looking at what people are able to do and achieve. What do you think it takes to get to the Olympics? What do you think it means to be a sports player in the Olympics? What does it take? What do you think they have to do? They have to be a good player? How do you get to be a good player? Yes.
Healthy food.
You have to eat healthy food. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Train.
You have to train and practice and train and practice to be a good runner, to be a good gymnast, to be a good diver, to be a good baseball player. You just have to keep practicing and practicing. You know what? We gather here today to be about a kind of Olympics. And we're practicing here today. St. Paul writes in the Bible that we are to gather together and to run the race of faith as though we were running for the gold. Run the race of faith like you're running for the gold. And so here we come to practice what it means to run the race of faith. What do you think we practice here? Yes.
Learning about God.
We practice learning about God in our church school and in worship. What else do you think we practice? Yes. We practice learning to live like Jesus would want us to live. We practice praying and praising. We practice hospitality and becoming a community of God's people. We practice waking up and being alive in God's Spirit. And we practice telling the truth and doing good. St. Paul tells us to do all those things like we're running for the gold. So are you ready? On your mark, get set, run the race of faith, go and do good, and learn.
Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Genesis. We are continuing to read through Genesis and Matthew this summer in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And our lesson this morning speaks of Jacob who is returning to the promised land to meet his brother Esau, with whom Jacob has had a long feud over family rights. Jacob is fearful. He has set a preliminary meeting. He sends his family ahead of him into the promised land. And then he sleeps. And he has a very restless night. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. Here ends the reading of Jacob's encounter with the divine.
Our gospel reading this morning is the familiar story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. As the story begins, Jesus has just heard news of the death of John the Baptist and has decided to go off to be alone. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. And he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Thanks be to God for the gift of Jesus Christ, who provides for us far beyond what is humanly possible.
Just in case anyone here is thinking of falling asleep, let me give a warning to those who might consider dozing off. It's a favorite story about someone who fell asleep right here in Trinity Sanctuary. In fact, Ralph Boswell likes to tell me this story. It's about an older man, you can check with Ralph who it was, who would always fall asleep during the sermon and service. And he was here with his wife on Women's Guild Sunday. And he fell asleep, and he continued sleeping until the pastor invited all the ladies of the Women's Guild to stand up. And when his wife stood up, he woke up, and since she was standing, he stood up too. Which caused his wife to shrilly whisper, "Sit down, sit down, sit down." So watch out. There may be a trap somewhere in this service or sermon for anyone sleeping today. And if that isn't enough to keep you awake, let me just add that today I'm speaking of insomnia. You know, it's the first time I've ever talked about sleeping or the lack of sleeping in a sermon, which is rather interesting when you consider how much happens in the Bible during the night. While Adam slept, God created Eve from Adam's rib. Joseph became Pharaoh's right-hand man by interpreting night dreams. God passed over the land of Egypt, releasing the Hebrews in the middle of the night. Jesus celebrated his Passover, Last Supper, at night. And he prayed at Gethsemane, a restless time at night. And the miraculous power of the resurrection occurred at night. Considering how much happens in the Bible during the night, I'm glad for this opportunity to talk about God's Spirit at work while we sleep, or as in today's text, on a very sleepless night. How many of you have ever had a restless night? Felt like you were wrestling with someone all night? Ever had such a night? That's what our scripture with Jacob is all about. Jacob has two incredible night experiences recorded in the Bible. The first happens when he is fleeing from his brother Esau, from whom he has just tricked the family inheritance. He lies down to sleep with a rock for his pillow, and remember, he dreams of a ladder to heaven with God's messengers coming up and down Jacob's ladder. Now, in today's text, Jacob the trickster is coming back home to Israel, back to the promised land, where he must be reconciled with his brother Esau, who has threatened to kill him. Jacob sends his family and flocks ahead of him over the river. And what a great symbolism for those moments of threat and transition in our lives, crossing a river. Then he lies down to sleep and rest. But instead of sleeping, he spends all night wrestling a man or a demon. Or is it God? Isn't that how those restless nights are? Most often in the midst of real or imagined danger, anxiety, threat, and or transition. We stay up all night, struggling with the shadows and ourselves. So much is unclear in our sleepless nights, as in Jacob's. Was it a dream? Or was it real? For Jacob, it's like a dream, but with very real consequences. Who was the antagonist anyway? Was it Esau? Was it Jacob's own dark side? Was it a river spirit? The demonic or the divine? The openness of the text makes room for many ideas, but by the end of the struggle, as dawn begins to break, Jacob and the biblical audience realizes that not only has he been struggling with some unknown force, he has been wrestling with God. This is no ordinary evening, no ordinary combatant. At one level, this is a story of the human struggle with self and life. But at another level, it is a story of a human being's struggle with God. what emerges from the tale is the reality that even in the midst of our struggles with God and self, the most enduring word is a word of God's grace. Although wounded, Jacob receives a blessing, a new identity, a new name, as one who has been blessed by God because he has struggled with God. And he is now prepared to meet and be reconciled with his brother. Such restless wrestling, such night struggle might be viewed as a divinely initiated experience and exercise in human becoming, of shaping and sharpening the strength and faithfulness of the human beings involved for the deep challenges that must be faced. God at work in our struggles, in our waking, in our sleeping, and our sleeplessness. Which brings me to insomnia, God's night school. I must confess that I did not come up with this title. It's a book in our church library here. And if you ever deal with sleepless nights like I do, I would suggest it to you. I appreciated it greatly. Although there are times when I can fall asleep anywhere and be snoring within a matter of moments, there are also nights, especially before I return back to the pulpit after being gone from it for 3 weeks, when I am awake. And I used to wrestle with the pillows and with myself and try and fall asleep, counting forward and backward, reciting the 23rd Psalm till I could speak it upside down. Usually trying to fall asleep was only more frustrating. And that's why I appreciated this book. Listen to what the author says. Not being able to get to sleep at night or waking up in the middle of the night can be the best thing that ever happened to you if you read the signals correctly. Having your sleep disturbed may be God's only way of getting your attention, because God can't squeeze into your busy daytime. Why bring God into it? Well, first, God cares about every detail of our lives. And second, it's not so much bringing God into it as admitting that God is already there. If the author was here, Connie Soth would say, "Look, so what if you aren't sleeping? Here's your chance to ask God what insomnia is good for. Make the most of your lack of sleep." I think that's a bold statement. Make the most of your lack of sleep. She says it can even be fun. The insomniac who thanks God for wakeful times in the night, believing that God will bring something good out of it, has already begun to receive the blessing of peace. A restless night with a blessing. Sounds like our scripture text, doesn't it? And I know that's been true for me. Instead of trying to force myself to sleep, now on restless nights, instead of getting angry and frustrated with myself, with others, and with God, that I couldn't sleep, now I just say, "Well, here I am, awake, God. What do you want with me?" In her book, Connie Soth writes chapters on "As Long as I'm Up, Lord," 7 spiritual exercises for wakeful nights. There are nights that I have learned I am just not going to sleep. So instead, I try to focus on what I'm struggling with. And what is God trying to tell me and teach me? And sometimes, just sometimes, there have been moments of great awe, new insight, and after working and wrestling with things, a reassurance that things will be all right. And I rest. To tie all this back to the biblical text, to Jacob's encounter with God and then with Esau, God may encounter people in conflicted times by taking the very form of the anticipated difficulty. In the night, we see in our scripture text, the divine antagonist tends to take on the features of others with whom we struggle in the day. Having been through such a time with God then provides a gracious kind of rehearsal for the actual life circumstance. To refuse to engage with God in that struggle and in the struggling moments of the night then denies oneself a God-given resource. To go through it with God before we go through it with others provides resources of strength and blessing then for whatever lies ahead in life. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 16, says, "I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me." Sometimes it's a struggle, but God gives blessings to God's people in sleeping and waking. Talking about waking, is there anybody asleep here right now? If there is, don't wake them up. They may need the sleep. Perhaps they've been studying in God's night school.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim and Dave. It is a joy and a privilege to gather together in prayer and to unite our hearts in the spirit that God would give us, the spirit that brings both strength and peace. And it is something that I look forward to every Sunday, and I miss when I'm not here. So much has happened in these past weeks. We think of the joy of the Olympics and the Hall of Fame here in Canton, but we also lift up the sadness of the bombings of airplanes and of amusements in the Olympics itself. We think of the death of the policeman here in town, and so we gather our hearts together in joys as well as in concerns. Today, I would share with you the great joy of the national youth event last week that six of our youth attended. Kevin Carnell and Katie Neal, Kelly Phipps, Tina Tan, Alicia Leone, and Mary Shane. I want to thank Leslie Rotecht and Fred Edwards, who were along as counselors, and Stella and I were able to drive on the trip with the youth. It was a great experience, and I look forward to the youth sharing some of that with you, as well as the youth coming back from the Back Bay trip sharing their experience with you in a coming Sunday. So we keep Reverend Plant and the Back Bay trip in our prayers. They begin their journey home today from Biloxi, Mississippi, and we look forward to hearing about their good work there. And as we're talking about young people, we today have our own Hall of Fame to celebrate here at Trinity Church. I have to share with you the good news, the incredible news, that our youth co-ed softball team won the tournament last week. All four games, and brought the prize home. We're going to have a new trophy to put in our trophy case, probably the first one in many years, and we celebrate with them. We especially congratulate Jim Lumen and Mike Seaman for their leadership of this co-ed volleyball or softball team, and appreciate that work, and we congratulate all the young people who played on it. And we also give thanks for the spectacular guest appearance by Julie Myers in the middle of it as well. We also share in the joy of a wedding here yesterday. We share in the joy of the wedding of Terry Bronowell and Martin Craig in our sanctuary. And it's good to see the Bronowell family here already today after a great celebration yesterday. We also give thanks for the birth of a baby. We have a red rose on our altar in celebration of the birth of Madison Ocray, the daughter of Tony and Bethany Ocray, and everyone's doing well. This is a time of transition as well for many people, and we want to keep in our prayers the Perlmutter family as we say farewell to Ann and Sarah and Emily and Betsy Perlmutter and Dr. Perlmutter as they move to Maine in this week ahead. We also want to pray for those who are hospitalized, and we would especially remember Val Bourne and Emma Sukma, who is Millie Honnold's mother. We want to also pray for Lynn Grossenbaugh, who is hospitalized. We want to keep in our prayers Abby Foltz, who will be going into the hospital this week, and those who are home from the hospital, Irene Brown, and Fran Greth, who is now recuperating at Chapel Hill. We also, this past week, experienced the grief of one of our longtime teachers here at Trinity Church. Byron Cook died this past week. Byron was an adult teacher in the men's Bible class for 26 years here at Trinity Church, a long time of service, and he was a dedicated student of the Word. We give thanks for his life, and we keep Evelyn in our prayers. Are there any other joys or concerns to share today? Yes, Polly. We want to pray for Polly's sister, Hannah, who will be undergoing cancer surgery this week. Is that here in town? Or no, it's, out west. Other prayer requests? Yes. Great. David Christie was married yesterday down in Grace United Church of Christ in Coshocton, United Methodist. And we celebrate with the Christie family and share in their joy as well. Other joys or prayer requests? If not, let us enter into a season of prayer.
O God, we give you thanks for the sweet refreshment of sleep and for the glory and vigor of the new day as we set our faces once more toward our daily work. We pray for the strength sufficient for our tasks. May Christ's spirit of duty and service ennoble all that we do. We pray for many others in our prayers today. We pray with thanksgiving for the gift of new life in Madison's birth. We give thanks for the gift of new love and celebration of lives united in marriage, and for Terry and Martin, and for David and his wife. We give thanks for the opportunity that our youth have had to meet with so many others around our nation and be inspired in your spirit. We give thanks for the work that our youth have done in Back Bay. We give thanks for their spirit and fun in sports. We celebrate the vision and achievement of sports that the Olympics have presented before us. We have so much to give you thanks for, dear God, and we pray for so many as well. We pray for those who need your spirit and strength. We pray for those who are making transitions. We pray for the Perlmutters as they journey to their new home. We pray for those who know pain, and we pray that your spirit may ease that pain. And we especially remember Val and Emma, Lynn and Hannah, and Abby and Irene and Fran. We remember those who have experienced grief, and we lift up to you one who has served faithfully among us for so many years, Byron Cook, and we pray for his family, Evelyn and Fred and Virginia. Be with them all and let them know of your strength and encouragement. Dear God, when the sun's heat has given way to the cool evening, we pray, take the heat out of our desires and our tempers, and in the evening hour ahead, calm us, that we may experience the peace and serenity which comes from you. And in this evening hour ahead, help us to rediscover the varied beauty of your creation and appreciate afresh in the stillness, whether awake or asleep, the value of your abiding presence for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we unite our voices to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It is through our offering of ourselves and our gifts that we make possible the ministry that we share with so many. It is through our church's wider mission and the offering that we make and give to the wider church that makes possible events like the National Youth Event. Let us give so that we may continue in ministry and create the future for our church. Following the Doxology number 781 and the prayer of dedication. I think it's appropriate today as we talk about sleep and sleeplessness to sing a beautiful new hymn that is based on a lovely, well-known lullaby. Go, my children, with my blessing, number 82, following our offering.
Abounding grace we give thanks, O God. For your steadfast love we pour out our gratitude. May our gifts provide for those who seek refuge from doubt, from oppression, from ignorance, and from calamity. Through giving in Christ's name, we seek to grow in the spirit of one who gave life itself for us. Amen.
Now may the blessings of the God of Jacob, the blessing of those who struggle with God, give you not just an easy life, but give you the power to be stronger men and women, so that every day you will wonder at yourself and the richness of the life which has come to you by the grace of God. Go forth in that strength and grace. Let the people of God say, Amen.